I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. The air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman, because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crying in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Michael Storm, and this is it. This is the show. This is what we do. We do it every week. You can follow me on the social medias at Toward Anarchy. And wherever you're finding the show at today, click or tap or smash or get out your, I don't know, what do they use? What's one of those little hammers that they use to smack your knees with to test your reflexes? Use one of those things. Smack that like button with that and get it to respond to you. Do it now. It's the best way you can support the show. And, of course, you can visit Amazing Fantasies in Topeka, Kansas, if you're ever around the area. And that's the best way to support me, for sure. Because if you're buying stuff from my store, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful synergistic relationship that we have like that. I'm a fan of things like that, Dr. Lloyd. How about you?
I've been reunited with my comic books in part by your energy, your enthusiasm. And I've even asked you for one particular type.
Yeah, I'm trying to hunt down one for you.
Yeah. And it's been a kind of revival of sorts that I've forgotten how just easy it is to step aside from the busy, complicated world and realize that there's fun things to do, that you don't have to be wrapped up in all of the the minutiae of life, the complicated problems that we're facing. And I do have to have that space for myself to keep my mind in a place where I'm seeing that there is a balance that I don't have to work too hard at. It's very often where we have to just muscle through so much of our life, be it that you're having to race to get all the things done that are necessary for just living, right? Running here to the store or fixing the drain pipe or getting all your ducks in a row so you can get your shop running. And I mean, there's all kinds of little things that we do, but when you have a little bit of that space, and we used to have a lot more, I would say, in the 60s and 70s, emphasis on leisure time. We even had things like block parties, where things were just, everybody got together and we had next door neighbor's strawberry jam or the friend down the street was baking sourdough bread or whatever. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because comic books were just part of that environment, and that we had time to dream and be creative in our mind about what the world could look like and what were heroes really, what were our role models. So what's your position on that?
I think you landed on it. You talked about the time. It's a difference in time, and there was so less connection with the rest of the world that we could use as an excuse to disconnect from the people around us. I think that's a problem that we have these days. There's so many things that can take us away from that family, from that neighborhood, from those places, and we can excuse it because we're not disconnecting from the world. We're connecting with the rest of the world, in fact. And I don't know. I don't know that it's any worse or any better. I think that those of us who want to be, who want to disconnect and who want to have that clear head when we go into the next conversation or whatever it is, I think we do fine. I don't think we have much problem. We've adapted maybe a little bit.
Adapt. That's the key word. And I like to say that I have over the years become adequately, flexibly adaptable. Because if we're not, then we get so rigid and stuck in our perspectives that we get controlled by these things rather than be able to adapt ourselves to the new situation. I've been in the previous shows, I keep talking about how I change. And what the topic for today, I wanted to go into what I would consider to be a kind of, and a lot of the topics that I do talk about with you are obvious, right? But this one is titled "Ask Backwards into the Future or a More Interesting Future Trajectory of Your Healing." And what does this all mean? So when you first heard me say that that title, what came to your mind?
Today. I that's a word I use a lot because everything is just sort of backward and twisted and upside down and not really quite right. Doesn't quite fit in all the spaces anymore, you know. So yeah, that's, I don't know, it's just a word I sympathize with. I really do. I feel the use of that word.
Yeah, so just to give you a little foundation, you probably recall how washing your hands when you were a child, that was bred into you, that you, after your long day or you're out playing as a kid, and you wash your hands before you eat your meal, right?
Not well, a thing.
Yeah, that was a thing, yeah. So, well, in the Civil War time, it was not perceived as having a value, washing your hands there, because it was the cleanliness of your hands wasn't important enough for when, you know, the bullet wound went in and you had to do surgery and your hands were all bloody, and you know that the bacteria, you know, the infection could spread through the, you know, through the hands because of all the contamination that was on the hands, until much later the hand washing became an adapted practice. But it wasn't immediate. It wasn't perceived that the washing of the hands was very important. I should go back to the Revolutionary War. Okay, that wasn't an emphasis. It was not perceived as being that important. And of course, nowadays we're sterile environment. Everything's sterile environment. So a lot of times the perception, you know, although seeming obvious to us, doesn't catch on. Right? That we have to slowly change the way that our culture kind of prods along, you know, with its understanding of how we live our life and see disease, right? Or understand how to keep healthy, right? And what I wanted to talk about today is how we perceive our problems in, and how it may take the culture a long time to figure it out, that we've got an issue here that everybody happens to be doing, but it's not adequate. It's not appropriate. And I'll give you some specific examples, but I wanted to do some reading from the book Cruising the Epiphany Highway from Dr. Am Rosen and give you some foundation of where I'd like to go with this discussion. So on page 78 of this book, it's volume 2, I'm going to read a little bit here and then we'll pick up after I do. So think about it. You don't have any problems until you think you do. Your physiology may be functioning inadequately to its potential and inappropriately to the situation. Your body may be full of metabolic obstructions, which impair your performance capabilities while riddling you with pain. Your feelings may be locked into a tragedy of responses that deny you access to the very experiences that could expand your potential and enhance your pleasure. You may be emotionally fixated in reactive patterns, which at every turn cripple your participation in living. All of these factors may continuously recycle in an escalating ooze of frustration. You may be on a dead-end collision course with entropy's quicksand of exhausted vitality. But that's just the way it is. That's just what's going on. It only becomes a problem when you think about it. Think about it, that is, in relation to something else. Let's examine the evolution of a thought, for example. The thought of righteousness. Now, I'm going to pause there for a minute. Now, when I bring this up, do you have any examples that come to your head that you say, gosh, this is really silly what we're doing, really stupid how we're putting our energy into so much of a particular area, and it really is unnecessary? Do you have any examples that come to mind for you in that regard?
I don't know. Things acting a little weird today. I'm not sure. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everything. It's every little thing that people are supposed to be doing. It's every little thing that they're not doing. There's every little waste of time. Every little excuse. Every little reason not to do the things that we're supposed to be doing. There's a million examples of the things that we do completely backwards that it doesn't even make sense. I see no reason for it. Except that when I do look at it, I end up seeing some political or social reason for doing it, not a reason for the individual to do it because it makes them better, makes them feel better, advances them in some way. It's okay to not do these things, not do certain things, not pay attention. If it's something that you can sacrifice to the society, to the whole greater good of things. So if you're not worried about you, concerned about you and taking care of your health, that's okay. nobody cares about that as long as you're showing up for the job and putting in your hours and making society grow. That's the only thing that the system go, not even grow. That's the only thing that the system cares about. And so anything that isn't an individual one-on-one conversation, that isn't an individual want or need, is compromised by some socio-political posturing that somewhere makes somebody money or votes. And I see everything is compromised by that. There's not a problem with society. There's not a thing that people do that government isn't either responsible for them doing or that government makes worse. Not a thing.
Okay, so in your position, and I understand that lane, it's all this energy that's being expenditure in areas where you're not taking responsibility for the direction where you want your life to be led. You're giving your power away. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, because I do often see it as being that it's people giving up the fight. They're willing to just let it go because it's easy. They're not willing to stand up for what's right. Language is one of the things that I think of a lot when I think of something like that, because I think that we lose a lot of the battles that we fight because we have given up the language, that we use their language, that we start out in their space for the conversation and instead of the open space and our space and the individual space, any place but their socio-political little imaginary castles that they've created that they rule from.
So you've well defined the problem, Michael, and it's been your, I would say, life's work to expose where our energy has been wasted. Right, that is a kind of what I would also say in my medical position, looking at how medical treatments are used to take the power away from patients too often. Right, that we may be very advanced in terms of our surgeries and our diagnostics, but when it's talking about making people stronger and healthier, the allopathic medical model is not designed for that. It's mostly designed for emergency cases, right? And in your particular perspective, I'm going to draw a parallel here. The repeating of what you just said is that there's so much repetition of the same dumb thing, you know, that we get locked into. We're going ass backwards in the future because we've got this mindset that tells us that we have to do it just so, that we have to pay our insurance, that we have to, buy a particular type of vehicle, or that we're somehow, expected that we meet these requirements for taxes at the end of the month and all this kind of thing, because society has been led down a path of disempowerment. And it's our job as people coming from places of being informed how it's the opposite. It's how to empower the intelligent individual so that they can realize that what their energy is being wasted, then how are they going to advance their ability to make choices? These things are very just, they're part of our psyche that feeds this fear that what'll happen if I don't respond to my, in your case, you have so much of your work invested in how people have been giving their power away to the society that is not making decisions for themselves, right? that it's always about a particular, you know, agenda that never really satisfies how you internally want to live your life, right? We all have these requirements, financial obligations, we all do, but are we pointing our energy in a direction where our energy is being given away? And that's what I wanted to focus on today, because when I say going ass backwards, it's just that people are repeating the same patterns continuously over and over and over, and until something new happens. And this is why right now the war mentality is supposed to bring about this great change. But after Vietnam War, the Korean War, World War II, I mean, just how much has really changed the psyche of people after all that insanity and destruction? What has changed in the psyche that has allowed us to move into a more appropriate, adequate, and effective place for humanity to expand? Can you give me your opinion on that?
Yeah, the problem is that these things are all a replacement. That there's some promise of something better on the other side of it. If you just keep doing, if you just keep showing up at the polls and just keep voting, if you just keep paying your taxes, if you just keep getting on the train, that eventually it's going to be fine, that they'll eventually find the right combination of theft and force and destruction, that everything will be perfect from that. You know, they'll destroy enough, kill enough, and steal enough that eventually, I don't know what the goal is. Maybe there won't be anybody left to kill or destroy or steal anything from, because it's certainly something that doesn't take a lot of high intelligence to really analyze, to look at it and go, oh, this is a thing that we've been doing for a long time that follows a pattern that these politicians and the system seem to follow at certain times. If you look at what's happening now and you look at this war that's going on in Iran, there's only a couple of reasons for it. The base claim is that, of course, Iran is going to get the bomb, and they're a week away from the bomb. It's been 47 years that they've been a week away from the bomb. And so it's a pretty weak claim. And then and depending on where you're standing when somebody talks about this thing, it's a different reason. If you're the troops right now, they're basically talking about this as if it's a holy war from the top down. You know, God has told Trump that this is what he needs to do, and that the world is going to be a safer place as he's blowing up stuff. And I don't know, maybe this is the time where it's all exposed, where it all ends up being out in the open and everybody can look at it and say, oh, well, this didn't work. But so if we that must not be going to happen, because we're back in this conflict in there, launching missiles at this state. And didn't we just do this just a few months back and cripple their nuclear capabilities? Didn't they send a bunker buster in and blow up a couple of things, and that was it? The government was cheering and they were all very happy and said, oh no, we've seriously set back their production abilities and their ability to create the bomb. And so again, why are we there? I don't know. It's not that. Is it protecting Americans? No, it seems like more Americans are dead, you know, because of the conflict than not. There'd be less people dead right now that call themselves Americans if we weren't in the conflict. Certainly many less wounded. So it's not that. They're not protecting us. They're not protecting American freedoms over there. American freedoms aren't in the Middle East. They want you to believe they are. They want you to believe through fear that somehow if you don't deal with the Middle East, if you don't let these psychopaths deal with the Middle East, that eventually the Middle East is going to, I don't know, come here, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why any of these people would care what America thinks if America would just leave them the hell alone.
Yeah, it's the control function of the people that are leading the charge here, that they appear to have some control. You know, they have this, it's a facade.
It is. It's a lie. It's all fake.
It's all fake, and because of that, the energy that's being used in these extraordinarily destructive ways is somehow justifying their being able to protect you. That is a claim, right? When you understand what is the foundation of how they control others, or what their motivations are, they do it by finances. They do it by how they control money and how resources are distributed. And in this case, of course, the oil distribution is what I would put at the top of the list as far as their perspective of how they can control how money is, one, used, how it's created, right? How it's being, positioned so that the power goes where the money comes from, right? And that barter stuff, once again, we come back to that. And it ties into going ass backwards, because as long as money is the motivator in all of these things, there's the RBN host that has that saying that all wars are bankers' wars, right? You know, and it's a good saying because it comes down to that. But what I hear some good analysis on what is involved with our conflict there, but it's the state of mind that our culture has been locked into that got us here in the first place. And that's why I wanted to examine a little bit, because part of our issues is that we're still in a society that uses fear as its fuel. What is it that gets us out of this whole, basically the compounding fears of being attacked, the compounding fears of not having enough resources, the fears of not being able to, meet our basic survival needs, your house, you heat your house, you drive your car, you get your food. I mean, all these basic survival things. And that's come to a head. Now, what I mean by that is that much of what we are putting our energy into is what's to come. What is going to be the outcome? And I'm hearing, and you're probably hearing a lot of this too, is that there's going to be increased fuel prices. There's going to be less food or more expensive food. That we're going to be led down a path where we're going to have these sleeper cells, and there's going to be unexpected kinds of
drone attacks on California.
Explosions.
Drone attacks, the claim of the drone attacks that Iran launched drone attacks against California. And I told people about this a long time ago when they first started the drone warfare thing. I said, what's going to happen with the drone warfare as we go into the future is that there'll be constant claims that drones will be a danger. And the bigger part of that is that you have no idea where the drones come from. And so, anybody can send a drone from anywhere, anytime, and claim that it was, this, Iran or something like that. And so it's a tool for these manipulators to use to stir the pot with it's bad. It's a bad thing, though. As soon as they started doing stuff with the drones and started making them into weapons and weaponizing them, I knew it was bad. And I mean the little ones, not the big gigantic ones. I'm talking about small ones, the kind of thing that a person with half a dozen of these things in a backpack could launch their own war against just about anyone.
you're talking, yeah, the false flag thing, with how Antifa was trying to stir up the war mentality internally, or Black Lives Matter, that when that was going on, and the destruction that went on in Portland, actually, some years ago. So there's a fomentation of the fear, right? The more that they build up the fear, the greater position that those that are creating this war are in, because they have justification for going in and, taking control of your society. And how do they do that? They do it monetarily. Right, they do it by rationing you or controlling what you eat. They do it by how your children are educated. They've got all these different categories of how to control you. That's what it really does come down to. But when you recognize how this is done, this is why it's so important from the standpoint of being aware of where the enemy is. It's in our mind. And it's how we have been allowing these things to take place, even though we can't control if they're going to bomb, whoever, we can't. These are powers that are doing something on their own without our approval, without our involvement. You mentioned it earlier, we're going to vote if we're going to bomb somebody. No, we don't have any say so in that. But what we do have is the ability to recognize how these destructive forces have been influencing our minds. And that's what I wanted to make the emphasis on, because our health depends upon proper, intelligent direction. And how that is done comes to the place where we recognize how so much energy is being put into the "you will be attacked. You will lose your ability to make decisions on your own. But we are the ones that will protect you from that. We are the ones that will give you the guidance and tell you what the outcome is going to be. And we're going to feed you the kinds of things that you want to hear. And because you know and I know that what they're telling us is foundationally built off of a lie, it is never going to make sense that we watch these things play out. And that is part of what a strategy I've had for the years is that I realized just how much energy I was allowing myself to hear and be influenced by people that were, informed in areas that I wasn't, like what the FBI is going to be doing, or what the military complex is positioned to do, and all these things. But what I realized early on in my 20s, actually, that I wasn't going to be feeding those mechanisms, those dysfunctional places where people are going. I wasn't going to go ass backwards into the future with them. I was going to shift my position and watch how I could stop that process from happening in my life. And can you relate to that, Michael, how it worked for you?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that there's... You're definitely more geared toward that type of response, I think, in terms of helping people and being a doctor. And I don't have that commitment to society. And so I kind of don't care.
Okay. No, that's legitimate. And I'll tell you why I think that is. It's because most of what we're facing is what we feel that we have no say-so in.
Well, that's it. Yeah, why fight a losing battle? I have no time for that. I have a life I can lead. I have family, friends, fun to have. I don't need to waste my time in their battles and playing along with their game, because it's a game you don't have to play, and it's a game you can't win, and they wrote all the rules. And when they want to win, they throw the rules out the window. So you can't win a game like that. You can't. It's not even worth playing. So I just never played. I was always about just making sure that I'm happy and the people around me are happy and that we're doing what we need to do to continue to be happy. And we're happy to just sort of let the world go by and do its own thing. If it stays off my lawn, I won't shake my fist at it.
Then let's give a couple possible scenarios here. One is that let's say that the price of gas does go up. Let's say that we have a limited groceries are limited, and like what's going on with Dubai right now is that they are down to the last week of produce, and that's a area where all their food is imported, okay, and that they're going to be facing hardships, and with all of the people who label themselves as being quote unquote preppers are people that are taking, the position of being responsible. That's all that really is. It's just making, observations and realizing that you are, facing a society that is collapsing, because it is, and because it's collapsing at such a fast rate, and that you won't necessarily have access to the things that you're used to or are accustomed to. You're just making adjustments in your life so that you would be able to, ride out a storm, so to speak, because this is really what it's all about. Until we combine our energies and go in a direction that's more suitable for what we really do want to achieve. And with the medical field, they've been doing so many things ass backwards in terms of treatments, and how to address the public's needs, that it becomes a compounding fear-based system, and it continues to sap the money from the people. It continues to feed poisons to the people. It continues to make people dependent on medications. It continues to feed the fear that we have had, and when we get specific needs that are related to what I would consider independent medical choices, the system is not designed to empower you. It's designed to feed the system, just like it does in any of the political arenas. It's designed to feed those fears so that your power is continually given away. And my job is to break that pattern. And that's why I talk about the intelligent future, the more productive future. So, okay, we've done a good job of defining the problem. Now, let's talk about some solutions, okay? I'm going to read on a little bit more here. So let's talk about righteousness, for example. Okay, I'm going to read from that just that same area, that same page, page 78 on Cruising the Epiphany Highway. At the physical level, here we go. At the physical level of consciousness, righteousness starts out as the ability to keep the body alive by managing to satisfy the imperative requirements of the biological survival mechanisms. The next level of righteousness comes as the philosophy refines and readapts its emphasis around whatever seems to produce the greatest efficiency in satisfying these necessary functions. Notice that the word seems is a highly suspicious perspective. The body may lock into an orientation for satisfying its needs, which, though it may seem valid, can either be far below what procedures it could have adapted, or even downright detrimental to its well-being. Still, righteousness becomes whatever has been patterned as the body's physical fixations. Now, if I may, when you realized that it's best to be active, let's say that you realize you feel better because you do regular walks. Or in my case, I'm a swimmer, so I swim on a regular basis. And when I don't swim, my body, it doesn't feel as good. I'm not quite as adaptable, right? Or if you're another kind of exerciser, maybe you do biking or something that you enjoy. So you've adjusted what I talk about with the physical adapting is that exercise, and by the way, just as a side note, doctors that I've talked to over the years find exercising for patients is the hardest thing for us to get patients to do. It seems, this is going back, 30, 40 years, right? It still seems to be the hardest thing for us to get people to do. But when you do something physical, it's something spiritual. And your mind is clear. You adjust to environmental changes more effectively. You enjoy your life more effectively. And what if you can't exercise, then there are other things that we can do that are alternatives. But what I'm saying is one example is exercise puts you in a different state of mind where you're out of your head, right? You're allowing your body, because your body wants to move, right? It wants to adjust to the physical needs. And it's one of the, in Chinese medicine, it's part of the 8 parameters. It's top, one of the priorities of being healthy. But I bring up that example because we are a culture that is seduced by stimulation. We're seduced by overstimulation. And we even use the word stimulation in words that are supposed to somehow fix the economy. It's a semantics game, right? We're gonna stimulation number 25 or whatever they give the title to. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's just another way of creating money that is not really money. It's just they're creating a debt instrument that they're using and calling it money. And then you have this word that's like stimulation is supposed to somehow give you this effect that it's creating something when it's not. It's a falsity. It's an illusion, a facade, And so when I'm tying this to the health point, because what I'm really trying to get people to realize is that all this chaos that's going around, it is our job to not get sucked in by all the negative draining energy. It's to be centered and peaceful and quiet and learn how to relax. And that may be the biggest message of all, is how we stop feeding what is causing us our own destruction. And that will stop the going backwards into the future kind of concept, is that we learn how we relax. When I exercise, I relax more easily. I'm more comfortable in my body. I'm mentally more clear, right? All of these benefits come to me, but it takes energy to make energy, doesn't it? So give me some input, please, Michael, from your perspective. How does that resonate with you? And do you feel like you've reached a point where you can relax and not let these, and you're very quick. I realize this. You're very quick at picking apart and determining where the false message is coming through. So you pick it apart. Can you give me some comments on that?
Yeah, it's tricky. It's a tricky thing for me because there's a thin line between understanding and apathy. There really is. Because I at the core of it all, I get that there's nothing I can do about any of it, so it's all a huge waste of time. Any of it. It doesn't really matter. My making an effort to improve a society that doesn't want to be improved, that doesn't understand improvement, that doesn't want to be healthy, doesn't want to be smart, doesn't want to be free, is a waste of my time. And so when I speak, when I do what I do, I speak only to those who are listening. I have no time for anyone who wants to argue, who wants to claim that they have a better solution, particularly if that solution, it doesn't matter what it is through political systems or through any sort of involuntary action on the part of the people. And by that, I mean all people and their being able to participate in it. Look, I know the solution to all of these problems, but most people aren't ready for it. And by most people, I mean almost all people. They're not capable of the personal responsibility that comes with there not being a system of control for them, because most of them, I've done it my entire life. I've given them the benefit of the doubt. I've given society the benefit of the doubt for 53 years, and for 53 years, society has spat in my face and said, we're going to do the exact opposite, go completely back-asswards, or ass-backwards, and continue to move forward in reverse. And I, not me, you take that path. I don't even know where I was saying it. I was just talking about this sort of the difference between taking the path of least resistance and doing the easy thing. They're not the same thing. The path of least resistance is is probably a lot of times the harder path. It's the, you have to work your way around things, and you have to go down a different road and come back around out the other side to be able to get around. So it's not the easy way out. It's the harder way out a lot of times. And the easy way out is going along. The easy way out is saying, well, there isn't anything I can do about it, so I'm just going to keep paying my taxes, I'm going to keep voting, and I'm going to keep pretending like America is in the right and that it's okay to wage war for no reason on people that have never done anything to any of us. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for him, Dr. Lloyd. We've talked about this before. But, you know, again, where you're a healer and you have this innate desire to try to make these people better. I'm happy to let them live with their ignorance because it's the better option than the I got to do something about the rest of them because they're in my way. You know, I could look at it that way. I could look at it as the world is out there and it's against me. that it wants, that it's out to get me, but I don't really see it that way. It's not really true. They're out for themselves, and that I understand. I don't understand abusing other people, violating other people to be out for yourself, because it's not necessary to do so, but so many of them do, and so there's no win. There's no win in participating. There's no win in dismissing it all. You just have to live your life, and you have to live it for you, and you have to live it for your family. And if you can be a good moral example to the people around you, have the conversations like I do every week, but have them for yourself. Have them for your own clarity, not with the intention of necessarily influencing anyone, because there have been people with bigger mouths and bigger stages with better words than mine for many, many years, and still here we are. So there's no hope in them. So I don't waste the time. I just really don't.
You're not okay. This is part of the path of the peaceful warrior. You know that you've made a commitment to understanding the problem, and that's half the battle, right? But once you have the knowledge, and this is part of understanding the disruptive parts of our life that we've been programmed that we don't have control of. But you've changed that. You've changed that position, saying,
We're told we don't have control over them, but it's not true. There are lives. There are actions. There are choices. We absolutely have control over them. The difference is in accepting the responsibility for those actions, and that's the point where everybody else is not there. They're not there. Nobody wants to accept the responsibility for their actions, and a lot of them with good reason, because their actions, or maybe even more to the point, their inactions, let what's happening today happen, because they're the ones that are responsible for it. I don't feel responsible for it. I have been outside of the system and pointing at the system and saying that the system is flawed the entire time, and that there's no path to fixing everything within the system. And so it's not a case of I'm giving up. It's a case of there was never anything to give up in the first place. It was a case of I looked at it and went, wow, that's not even a place to be, let alone a place that, well, maybe if we do things right. It's the whole mythology of being in it and participating in it and being able to change it. If that were true, we wouldn't be here where we are today. If people were better people that make better decisions, that were capable of making better decisions, we wouldn't be where we are today. If America didn't want to bomb Iran, if Americans were really moral, strong people who stood up for what's right, they wouldn't let a handful of people in Washington bomb Iran in their name. Right. But they're not those people. They're not those. And it's not because they're not paying attention. It's because at best they're not paying attention to the right thing, and that's about all there is to it. When you sit there and you point it out to them, they don't care. I have this perfect example of a couple of people who are like this, and they're all like this. They're all like this. They want this system to work. They think that if they make enough apologies for it, they think if they, again, what I was saying earlier, just one more vote, one more tax dollar, the right person in the place, they actually think that that's going to work, that they think that there's the 100th monkey thing that's going to happen with this system, but it's not, because the 100th monkey thing is bringing awareness to people and causing them to wake up to what's going on, and for them to change, and that to cause a fundamental shift. Well, we've had 250 years of fundamental shift in America, and we're no better than any second-rate third-world country anywhere. We pretend like we're so much better, but we have cities full of homeless, starving people that are there not because there aren't enough resources to go around, not because there isn't enough for everyone, but because there's a certain class of people who have stolen everything that we've ever made, and they put a price tag on it to sell it back to us, whether it's our rights or our own property or our own souls.
And that's where you can't serve two masters. You can't serve the fear and you can't serve consciousness at the same time.
And that's where I'm stuck at, and that's where I'm toward it, because it's not a case of, again, it's not a case of giving up. Because there's nothing to give up. There was nothing to win in the first place. So it's not a case of giving up. It is absolutely a case of redirecting that energy to something that's important for me and to make my life better. Because I'm not going to I've been talking about these things for years. I have no idea if I've ever influenced anybody, if I've ever changed a single mind. And I don't concern myself about it. I just do what I know is right. I do it every single day in my daily life, and I do it when I'm right here in front of the microphone, and the rest of the world can take it or leave it. They can come along for the ride, or they can, you know, whatever. Well, I don't know where they go, what they do. we're almost out of time, Dr. Ludwig. About 3 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Well, just to sort of...
encapsulate it all.
Yeah, this is not about this is not about cheerleading. This isn't like, go, 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 we're going to get through this, you know, we're going to somehow, you know, give you what you've been wanting, and we'll take the fears from you, and just, those are the people that you're talking about that are, you know, still focusing on the vote. They're still focusing on the system. But it's already imploding. My observations are that they've already lost the grip of it. It's just that it's playing itself out. And as we do, it's our job to stay as centered as possible, not allowing these fear tactics, because they are tactics. There's a system behind this to manipulate your mind, and not to continue to feed what has already been broken and will not continue. It's funny, the kingdoms come, kingdoms go, kind of thing. You know, we see them go through their different stages of building and then destruction. But what's most important for us as those that are aware of how these systems were built and under the false, what I would call, they were founded on a false foundation. It wasn't ever clean and clear. And we're going to just be at the end. I believe that I'll be at the other end of this, you know. Whether I'm still alive, I don't know, but I've already figured it out, and because of that, there's a kind of calmness that just takes over the whole thing as these insane events take place. So that was my encapsulation.
It's thinking of it in terms of the war. You know, they've been talking about this. The draft, you know, what would happen? Are you eligible for the draft? What keeps you ineligible for the draft? This is what keeps me ineligible for the draft. Come and get me. Come and get me. Fight your own war, because I ain't going to do it, and I won't give you my kids. None of it. You won't get them. You'll have to take them. And that's where I stand.
Yes. Well, you have to.
If they want something from me, they're going to have to take it from me.
Right.
And they will, if they really want to. But that's the thing about being the sort of black sheep, the loner individualist like this, is that they don't see me as being, I'm not helpful to them. What are they going to, they're going to draft me? They're going to force me to draft? The first time they give me a big weapon, I'm going to frag a whole bunch of them.
There you go. Well, you realize that they're afraid too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I want them to be afraid of me. They should be afraid of me. They don't want anything to do with me. Just stay the hell away from me and leave me alone.
Well, they can't control your mind.
Yeah.
That's because that's
but they'll try.
That's their weapon is to control your mind.
It is. And I think that's where we're going to have to leave it, Dr. Lloyd. Always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend.
For sure. Thank you, Beck.
Okay. Take care. We'll talk to the rest of you next time.
As far as the public is concerned, this office stands for integrity, honesty, and transparency. Using this suit, I will masquerade as GARP and blackmail every senator with a campaign of lies and deception until I get my way.
But, Brian, you always told me that lying makes hair grow on your palms.
In politics, Pinky, lies are just facts that haven't been repeated enough yet. And if you don't believe that now, you will soon, because lies are just facts that haven't been repeated enough yet.
Ain't that the truth?
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network.